and welcome. Prepare your heart as we dive into the Word of God. Our desire at Beloved Church in Lena, Illinois, is to lead you into a life-changing encounter with grace and truth. Jesus Christ has a divine destiny perfectly orchestrated for those who are willing to be adventurous enough to receive His favor and blessing into their life. Our prayer is that you will allow the presence of the comforting Spirit of God to radically display the Father's love for you. You are a part of God's beloved family, and that means you are greatly loved. Now over to our guest minister for today.
Beloved, there is nothing new under the sun. The Word says it, and yet in our flesh, it's hard to grasp that truth sometimes because what we're seeing being exposed is unconscionable sometimes, a lot of times. And there's nothing new under the sun. So I want to reinforce that we have the answer, beloved. We are the light on the hill. Jesus is our hope. I could go through the list of songs again we worshiped through today. You can't make it up. And then Sandy walked in with a bag this morning that says, all my hope is in Jesus. Do you carry that bag all the time on Sunday and I've just never seen it? Oh, no, right, yep. No, of course not. All of our hope, we bring hope to the hopeless. That's us. And don't we, is it possible that there's still spots that we are hopeless? As we move from glory to glory, as we're immersed in this world, in our culture today, that has got ick everywhere, can it just make you a tick hopeless when you hear about all of the things and the stuff and the... Ephesians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints, not just to the people. Notice he doesn't say to the church either. To the saints. Who's a saint? Oh man, there's a song there. Ha ha. I'm a saint. You're a saint. Wouldn't you like to be a saint? To be a saint. Okay. Maybe I'll leave that for Pastor Steve, seeing he's kind of that song guy.
That's your family camp song, Bob.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Right on. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe or maybe not, just a little bit of a challenge. Have you greeted anybody when you've gone to their house in this way? Send them a text or an email? Okay. Blessed be the God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ. In Christ. In Christ. That was really big for me when I broke free of religion. This whole in thing and not just in thing. Bar the door, Katie, because once you understand you live in Him and He lives in you, boom. Now I know where I stand, and I stand on ground that is literally unshakable in all the power and authority that Christ walked in. Psst. There it went. I heard it. For real. If I'm in Christ and He's in me, why am I less than? Yep. It's only right here. Amen. Okay, good. Awesome. Who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Can you say hope? Hope. For he chooses us in him, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless. Then why do we blame ourselves? Do we believe that? Is anybody else in here holy and blameless? Okay, YouTube land, anybody out there? Holy and blameless. Amen. We are holy and blameless in Christ. Can you say hope? I know it seems so simple, and it is that simple. It's the world that makes everything we do really difficult. Everything we do. Go get a 4-year degree to learn how to do this. But wait, how come I still have to start at the bottom of the pole? Because that's the way we sweat and toil. In Christ, once you're in, you're in. There is no metered dose. You are now holy and blameless in him, in his presence. He chose us. He chose us to be alive right now, to be in him, to be in this building right now. So why do we whine and complain about anything? We got nothing to whine about. We have life and life eternal. We walk in the favor of the Lord. We walk in the blessings of the Lord. Christ was crucified for that to happen in our lives. All we've got to do is accept it. That's hope. He predestined us for adoption as his sons through Jesus Christ. I was adopted. I think pretty much everybody here knows that. I don't have any grid for who my parents are. Doesn't matter a lick to me. I don't care, because I know who my daddy is. And really, genetically, none of that matters anyway anymore. I'm in Christ, sealed with the Holy Spirit. I'm his son. My father that carried the seed, my mom that carried the egg, that's awesome, and I bless them. Yet, none of that has any bearing on me and who I am. Right. In Jesus' name, I will not do that. Amen. He predestined us for adoption as his sons through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. That should bring hope. To praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the Beloved One. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the... Stop it. The riches of his grace. The riches of his grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. You know, this prosperity thing is weaved everywhere in the Bible if you're paying attention. I didn't grab that till I just read it right now as I was pulling this together. I didn't get that. What do we talk about in prosperity? One of the things we get is wisdom. And how about understanding? Yeah. Ha. Huh. It's everywhere. Okay, second book I'm going to talk about is Pastor Rich's book. What Cindy said. We're going through it in the Lena Grace group right now, and we ripped it this week. We made like 2 paragraphs. 3 pages? Oh, no wonder I was so tired. Knowing who we are and how the Father sees us is vitally important on this journey. Pastor Rich does an awesome job laying that out.
Amen.
It's a great book to help you in your identity. Because we truly need to see ourselves as He sees us. So if we're short in the hope department, is that how He sees us? Then why do we see ourselves that way? Why do we allow that to happen? Yeah. Justin, will you open us in prayer, please? Thank you. No, just rip it. Amen. Thanks, brother. Ephesians 1:9. And He has made known to us, back to that wisdom, that knowledge, that revelation, the mysteries of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to bring all things in heaven and earth together in Christ. In Him, we were also chosen as God's own, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything by the counsel of His will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ. We were the first to hope in Christ would be for the praise of His glory. Now remember, this is Paul writing to the Ephesians. And in Him, having heard and believed the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the pledge of our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. Amen. To the praise of His glory. Okay, so the Ephesian church and us today. Because there's a lot of bad stuff going on today. We've already talked about that a little bit, right? I could go through lists. I don't see it's necessary. Y'all see it. There's a lot out there. To steal your hope, there's a lot out there. How are we going to, we're about equipping equippers in this body. It's a word the Lord put over us, and it's who we are. Yeah. Pastor Ryan spoke out this morning, the word that lays over us. And we're equippers. We're out there doing the word as a body. And I could go row by row and person by person. It's all around us. And how do we bring hope to the hopeless if we're not in hope ourselves? Amen. Against that, whatever that is. The corrupt, yeah, that whole thing, you know, from a couple years ago. If we're not standing in faith that that's a lie, how do we bring hope to those that are freaked out by it? Does that put it a little better, maybe? There's a lot going on, y'all. There's a lot for us to pay attention to. And Jesus is King. Jesus is King. Not that made-up nonsense. We have the answer. We have the hope. And they're coming in masses. We've seen the drip, drip, drip. And it's been glorious. Some of y'all are those people that have come over the last several years that came out of hopelessness, that didn't understand what the simple gospel message is all about and what it can bring to you on this side of the cross. He just didn't know. I didn't know. Praise Jesus, we know now. Amen. So, allow the Holy Spirit to begin to touch those areas in your heart as we talk about hopelessness a little bit more. Where are those areas that you might be a little hopeless that you can give to Him and not keep a hold of, not even a thread? Let it go. He's got it. So Ephesus, a little study of Ephesus shows us it was literally called in that time Satan's very headquarters. Wait a minute. Look at all the great stuff in Paul's letters to that very church. They must have been awesome. It was the very seat of Satan in Asia Minor. Adultery, superstition. They lived in the lap of luxury and wealth. Moral corruption was unhinged. Wait a minute. If you listen to all the prophets on YouTube right now, they'll tell you this is the worst time ever. That's how they know Jesus is coming tomorrow at 3:17 or something. A short study of Ephesus shows we really kind of got some of this right. And I say that very cautiously because we got so much of this wrong. And this writer chose the word dunghill. I'm not sure I would have, but I'm going to use it because it fits. And there in the midst of the dunghill, I know, was this little garden of fragrant flowering plants. They were the saints in Jesus Christ. They were the saints in Ephesus. The lights on a hill that were in Christ, set apart from all of the nonsense that was going on in Ephesus in that time. And so visible to the outside looking in that they knew that they knew those were saints. So writers outside of biblical text, non-canonized text, spoke to the church in Ephesus as a flower on a dunghill. That's how I want Lena to look at us. That's how I want Stevenson County to look at us, Joe Davies County, the state of Illinois, and our nation. That's what I want people to say about us, beloved, as individuals, as families, and as a family. I want them to say we're set apart. We're different. In a way that brings them hope. In a way that brings them into our life so we can have a conversation. We can witness. We can speak to their hopelessness in that area. Yeah. Never mind about today's surroundings. It's about the fellowship of the Son, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, it's about being in fellowship with the Lord. We live in Christ, not only at certain times, yeah. All the time. When we're out there in the midst of the muck and mire, yeah. You are what you behold. Yeah. So if you allow it to get on you when you're beholding it, that's too bad. I'm sorry, you don't have to. But you have to be conscious of it so that you can keep it off. The church in Ephesus did not live hopelessly, and they lived in an environment equal to or worse than the environment we live in. So is it possible? Yeah, it is. It is, regardless of the situation. We can have hope because our hope lies in Him, not ourselves, not each other. Solomon, the writer of Ecclesiastes, is known as one of the wisest and richest men ever to live. Ecclesiastes 1:9. That which has been is, that which shall be, and that which has been is, that which shall be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it may be said, see, that's new. It's already been done in days of old, which were before us. So why do we get all twisted up? God already dealt with that. Who knows how many times? Why do we let that get us and our heart out of rhythm with Him? A twisted heart. Our eyes off of Him. Oh, you don't understand. It's 2024, and that's brand new. No. Yet, if we listen to the world, that's where they want us. Look at the way they spin all these little set up skirmishes and outright wars. Yep. They spin it to get your heart out of tune with our Father, to get your heart to twist, to take aside those big fat meanies. Yeah. Right. Why? Why? Why do they do that? Because you can't walk in all the power and authority you walk in when you're in the flesh like that. If that hopelessness grabs you, it will pull you right out of the spirit into the flesh. Yep. Fear is one of them for sure. What's going to happen? Did you hear the news about the thing and the stuff and they're lobbing and they're doing? Okay, first of all, is it even true? I know. Hollywood's everywhere. And I can assure you a lot of the videos that we're all seeing are propaganda. Yep. So I'm going to give you another challenge. Last week I said, do you all know who the seer is? One of the seers is in this body? And if you don't, find out who she or he, that was good, she or he is. How do you do that? Just by talking. Now, we have somebody in this body that absolutely knows beyond a shadow of a doubt because he's seen it with his own eyes, the very things I just spoke to. Do you know who that is? Oh, how about those bears? I know. We are lied to, we are manipulated constantly, and I, for one, don't want to be sucked out of who I am because of somebody's nonsense and their stuff. Do I not pay attention? Nope, I do not bury my head in the sand. Anybody that knows me knows I pay attention and have my whole life. Yet, I have gotten mature enough in this journey that I can put all that aside. It's just facts. That's the way to put it. Thank you, Lord. It's just facts. Does it cause me fear? Nope, not at all. Because whatever they do today doesn't affect me tomorrow. Jesus is King. And I still have the same great commission over my head. Go heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Make disciples. That doesn't change. So why does that even crank me up? It may cause a hiccup. It may change our methodology sometimes. Like during the corona lie, it changed our methodology a little bit. Did it infect us to a point that we were non-effective? Nope. Pastor Steve and I had a contest on who was healing more, whose homes we were in more. I fed hundreds of people at their home and saw tremendous signs, wonders, and miracles. They didn't stop it. Why? Because I refuse to believe their lies. Jesus is King. I'll do what He tells me to do, not what the government official that wasn't happy with me said. I don't care. If it was law, I couldn't have broke it and been who I am. Big difference. We aren't experiencing anything our ancestors haven't experienced, including, but not limited to, the emptiness in us pre-Christ. The longing for our Creator.
Yeah.
And that's who's coming. That's who's, these people are coming. They keep coming, and they're coming in the masses. You've heard me call it two-foot-itis. I'm a boat guy, and I got to get a two-foot-bigger boat. That'll make me happy. Okay, not. I'm an RV guy. I got to get another bedroom set on the RV. We're going to work. It's going to, and we're never, and I'm going to, praise God, I'm going to be happy forever. And 15 minutes later, yep. If we try and cure that emptiness with anything flesh, a different husband, a different wife, a different job title, a different car, a different boat, a different motorcycle, what am I missing? Season tickets to the Bears. That'll make me happy for the rest of my life. Right. No, it won't. We know that's silly. And yet, do we? Completely? Or do we try and satisfy our flesh in some way that way that still needs to die? I hope you're all still looking for those places that you might be a little hopeless yet, where you haven't been able to apply the atonement to that area fully yet, and there's a wavering in your hope. Jeremiah 29:1. This is the text of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all others Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Notice that Old Covenant, there were priests, there were prophets, and all the others. What are we? What are we in this atonement? What are we? How can we walk on this side of the cross? You're a king, you're a priest, you're a prophet, you're an evangelist, you're a pastor shepherd, you're a teacher. Thanks. One. Don't box it. If you allow the world or somebody to speak into you to box you, yeah, that's what, God bless you, be warm and filled. But quite honestly, that's only the start in this covenant. Because we have the Holy Spirit. Doesn't come and go, stays. Sidebar, today'd be a great day to be baptized in the Holy Spirit or to have the gifts from the Holy Spirit stirred up in you. Indeed. Had carried into exile from Jerusalem to where? Oh boy, that Babylon. First we're in Ephesus, and now we're in Babylon. Want to make $1 million? Here's $1 million idea. Ready? I don't see any pens. Write a book on Babylon and compare it to America today. I am absolutely lying through my teeth. Don't waste a moment. Okay, good. This was after King Jeconiah, the queen mother, and the court officials, the officials of Judea and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the metalsmiths, had all been exiled from Jerusalem. The letter was entrusted to Elisha, son of Shaphan, and Girma, son of Hika, whom... Now, if Doc Ryan was sitting right over here, he'd be stone-faced for me because he's my brother. Thank you, Doc. And I will take the correction. I'm doing my best over here. Oh, boy, now I got to do them all over again. Uh-huh. Boom. Lots of support going on up in him. Whom Zedekiah, king of Judea, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, it stated. Woo! This is what the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, says to all the exiles who were carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Sidebar. I know, sit right on the edge of your seats. Babylonian culture was polytheistic. Yep. Many gods, right? They fed them three meals a day in their homes. It wasn't just limited to like the rain god and the food god and the, I don't know, chariot god, whatever. They had all these different gods. And then in your homes, you had your little god too, all different. And you fed it three meals a day and you brought it offerings. Wait a minute. So I put this in my home and I turn it into a god or an idol. I paid for it to start with. And now I gotta feed it three times a day? And I have to give it more money all the time? It's not alive. Y'all get that, right?
Yeah.
It's an inanimate object. And I worship it, and I bow to it. And then on holidays, they'd take these little gods that they worshiped and parade them up and down the streets so that everybody else could see their little gods that they worshiped, their little idols. Nuh-uh. I can't help it. Do we have things in our life that are our little idols like that? Like the aforementioned boat, camper, RV, because maybe even around here once in a while a tractor goes up and down the street and people, oh, I can't believe you rebuilt that tractor. Look at that. It's good. I'm only kind of sort of kidding. Because you feed it with money. You paid for it to start with. And do you spend more time with that than you do the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Do you spend more time with that than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Then it is an idol. You can call it what you want. We call fat, fat here.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
I want to keep our hope where our hope belongs. And in the meantime, I want to get rid of the stuff that doesn't belong so our hope can be in him, not our hope in the pleasure here.
Amen.
And whatever that brings. And I like stuff. We like stuff. All of us like stuff, and we all got stuff. And we steward it. The Lord blesses us with it. We steward it. But do we allow it to become an idol? And that's cash, too. This isn't even wealth building, and I went there. I can't help it. Truth is truth. And the truth will make you free if you allow it to get in you. The Lord said to those exiles, as we're going back to, right? This is what the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, says to all the exiles who are carried out of Jerusalem to Babylon. Ready? Go, build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat the produce. What does that mean? Feed yourself. Feed your family. Plant gardens and eat their produce. And really there means multiple. Just maybe. I'm not telling you to start a garden. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm asking you to explore what the Lord is saying to the others that were outside of, stuck in Babylonian culture, what to do to take care of themselves. Build a house. Darn it, I work. I'm just going to pay that other guy to build a house. I know. Plant gardens and eat their produce. How come we just can't go to the market? There were markets then. Huh. I wonder if it had anything to do, like, because there's nothing new under the sun, right? We've already agreed on that. I wonder if there was anything to do with the food supply that was in Babylon being not really good for the Jews to eat, and the Lord knew enough to say, you know what? Plant your own food. I'm just asking. I got a lot of questions. There's a reason that he said that. Why? Because in Babylon, there was lots of merchants. You can count on the fact there was a farmer's market all over. It was probably really cool and beautiful. Okay, moving along quickly. 6, take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your son and give your daughters in marriage so they too may have sons and daughters. Lots of procreating going on here. In the midst of Babylon. Multiply there, do not decrease. Do not decrease. So it really tells me again, nothing new under the sun. We don't know. I've not read. Maybe some of you have. Maybe I'll get corrected by somebody after the fact. I've never seen any of my studies of Babylon or that culture where it talked about they aborted babies. But it does talk about they offered child sacrifice. But the Lord says to Israel, do not decrease. So what about all those books that said once Roe versus Wade passed and we were having legal abortion in this country, Jesus is coming tomorrow now. Hair on fire. I'm not picking on eschatology and I'm not touching it other than these little drive-bys. Let Steve mop all that up. But the fact is, nothing's new under the sun. And why should we be shocked then? Because you know how many good believers have stood outside abortion clinics, myself included, and marched and picketed, and just maybe I got a little zealous or rambunctious or passionate? Passionate. That's the word I'm staying with. I know it twisted my heart about those doorknobs doing what they were doing. Those were kids. It irritated me. I allowed it to. Get it?
Yep.
My hope's in him, not in them. My hope's in him, not in them doing the right thing. Dead people will act like dead people. People in Christ will act like alive people. How come we let them suck us in? Do not decrease. We're increasing in our family. Thank you. Odelia, look at her paying attention. She's like, I don't know who that is, but I'm liking it. Seven, seek the prosperity of the city to which I have sent you as exiles. Ah, there's that darn prosperity, pesky thing. Pray to the Lord on its behalf. For if it prospers, you too will prosper. Stop it. What can you say? Now can you say prosperity's ungodly? I really didn't intend. And it just is. Pray to the Lord on its behalf. On whose behalf? The city where he has put you. The city to where he's put you. We all come from different cities. Well, a couple of us are Stocktonites. There's a lot. All different. Are you effectively and fervently praying for your city? Don't answer. Why? because if it prospers, you will prosper. Do you know a little sidebar? In my study of revival throughout the ages, every time revival breaks out in an area, the prosperity in that town, in that region, is off the charts. I do mean it. Off the charts. If revival hit Stevenson County right now, they'd be building hotels, building restaurants, building infrastructure. Businesses would be coming. More gas stations would be coming. Why? Because of what the Lord is doing. That is called prosperity. Somebody's got to make money. Somebody's got to make money. God's not going to print it and send it. It's illegal, like Andrew says. He doesn't have a printing press in heaven. So he's got to have money work through people to fund his kingdom in the advancement of the gospel. Pray to the Lord on its behalf, for if it prospers, you will too. I think we're supposed to go live under a bridge. Remember ourselves and live in burlap bags. Okay, not. Tongue-in-cheek moment. Are you praying for your boss? Are you praying for his family? Are you praying for that company? I urge you to if you're not. Because your success financially to prosper the way the Lord wants you to prosper depends on that company, that individual, that boss, their decisions, their, wait a minute, their wisdom, their witty inventions, their ideas. Where does all that come from? Here's a hint, the Father of Lights. Okay. Eight. For this is what the Lord of hosts says. I'll just make it up as I go. For this is what the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, says. Do not be deceived by the prophets and diviners among you, and do not listen to the dreams you elicit from them. They had YouTube too. Must have. What other podium did those prophets and diviners have? I don't know. I feel like Milton Berle. So, nothing's new under the sun. You know, we're really cautious as a family about what we feed, where we send someone to be fed. Why? That. There's caca everywhere. Okay, it's everywhere. And it's fear porn and bold-faced lies. And I know, I hear it. Well, buddy has 73,000 followers and there's been 37 views in 2 minutes. He's got an audience. Okay, spoiler alert. You can make all that crap up. Ask our in-house techno geek. You can make up your following for any of the social media. I don't care what anybody else says. It can be done. Because I can make a phone call and pay somebody and have it done. I'll have 90,000 followers on Facebook tomorrow if I shall choose. Same thing on TikTok, Twitter. So now you can open YouTube and go, well, there's 1 million views. That's got to be truth. Says who? I've never met a diviner. Anybody in here met a diviner? Okay, so I'm not alone. Thank you. I hear about these dreams on YouTube all the time. So I had a dream last night, thus saith the Lord. The eagle is crashing into the rhinoceros's head, and the trumpet will sound tomorrow at 3:15. And 70,000 people watched that in 2 days. (Gasps) No wonder there's no hope even in the body of Christ. With all of the nonsense from the diviners and prophets. So I encourage you, I said before, we're very picky about the free material section is good, sound doctrinal teaching. If we send out a video of some kind, or we do a book of some kind, or we talk about a pastor, a brother, a shepherd, whatever words you want to use, it's because they're the real deal. They're not going to harm you. And as the masses come, y'all need to be practicing the same thing. Oh, yeah, I appreciate you sending me that, but quite honestly, there's a lot of bad juju there. Oh, I mean, bad doctrine there. That's nonsense. You need to really, truly kind of pay attention over here to this. Well, but that's prideful. No, actually, it's shepherding. It's shepherding. It's where you take the hook and bang the dude in the side of the head because he's about to step into the really fast water, and right over there is a still pond, and he'll walk right through it without harm. It's in love. Yeah. Because there are many, many being deceived by what's out there in the world today. And how can we bring hope to the hopeless if they're so far deceived that we spend most of our time untangling all of this deception amongst their hearts? For they are falsely prophesying to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. For this is what the Lord says. When Babylon's 70 years are complete, I will attend to you and confirm my promise to restore you to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you, to give you a future and a hope. And a hope. In Babylon. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. I have had the sheer blessing to be with so many people in the last few years that the Lord has stirred on their heart, and they've come to the Lord and then come seeking counsel and wisdom and the what to do next thing. It's a beautiful thing, because in a moment of hopelessness or desperation, they cried out to the Lord, and he will respond. You quiet yourself, the Lord's going to talk to you. Can I get a one witness on that, please?
Amen.
All right, good, yeah. 13. You will seek me and find me. Huh. Not maybe. Not if I'm not busy. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with most of your heart. Kind of, sort of. Oh, Lord, will you talk to me today? No, all of your heart. Are you all in or not? It's all a matter of the heart, this entire journey. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore you from captivity and gather you from all the nations and places to which I have banished you, declares the Lord. I will restore you to the place from which I sent you in exile. Were we sent here? Do we want to call it exile? I know, it's a phone dropper, I agree. If I had my phone in my hand, I probably would have too. It's where you're put, exile. This is where we're put. If you're chosen to be here, which I pray you are, if you're not, if you don't belong here, go where you belong. They're waiting for you. They need you. The Lord is wanting to use you there. This needs to be your place where the Lord has brought you so you can be a part of our family. We need your body part. We need your body part. We need your revelation. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and unsearchable things that you don't know. Oh, that whole I know thing. I know. And it rolls off so easy, doesn't it? Come on. A little leaven will multiply in your heart. I know that's a BLT. Just work with me a minute. Anybody who's ever messed with yeast knows just a pinch and voila. So if this entire journey is a matter of our heart and we allow that news reporter's hopelessness, that neighbor's hopelessness, that brother or sister's hopelessness, to get in or on us, that's enough to just twist you a little bit. Just a little bit. I don't want to not be in the Spirit. I want to be in the Spirit. Yep. And that little bit of leaven will pull me right into the flesh. So, there used to be a kids' church song in the Baptist church. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears. Okay, so it was more than the Baptist church? Yeah. Truth. I'd encourage you all to sing it to yourselves during the week. Get your mind. Serious. I do. You'd be amazed what I sing to myself when I'm doing stuff. I'm a work in process, and I want to guard my heart so that I don't lose my hope. Why do I have to have my hope? Why is it so important I have my hope? Because the hopeless ones are coming. Have empathy for those that are still blind, just like Jesus did. We look at somebody that just came to Christ or somebody that's almost in Christ or somebody that's working through some stuff, going, can't they get it? Confession, it's taken me a few years to not be that guy. I just want to shake it right out of you. There, take that. That didn't do nothing either, I guess. Just being real. Have compassion. Compassion flows from a place of hope and love, and knowing. Filled with compassion and not finger pointing at ourselves or others. Self-deprecation will ruin, like a wet blanket on a hot ember, your hope. And it's so easily spewed. And it is what television has been doing since probably the 80s. Every show has people on it that's self-deprecating or buffoons or whatever words they use. So how can that not get on you? Now tell me why I don't like television. I don't want somebody else's vision. Mine's good. And I like the vision of my Lord. Amen. Beloved, we have been frogs in boiling water, and I say that all the time, and we have been, to these lies, perpetrated by our adversary. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro all the earth to show himself strong." It's not quite the point to drop the phone yet, but I'll just do it this time. "For the eyes of the Lord to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are fully devoted to him." Boom. That's the mic drop. Is your heart fully devoted to him? What has your attention? What has your focus? Is it that idol that you paid for, you feed, costing money, and you bring homage and money to keep it alive, to keep it going, to keep it clean, to keep it buff, to keep it operating, to, I don't know. To show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are fully devoted. Fully. Fully. What's taking your attention away from him? You have acted foolishly in this matter. From now on, therefore, you will be at war. Yes, they did. And if you read the rest of that chapter and put it in context, you'll understand totally. And the Lord's eyes are roaming for us that are focused on him constantly. Many people believe that we have to plead with God to have him get involved in our affairs. He's longing to be a part of your life. He is longing to be involved in whatever you'll give him and really let go of and not hold on to a little string. Okay, well, I'm going to give you 99.9% of that. Nothing's going to happen. I got news. If you give him your finances, you will be absolutely blown away. There's a testimony that we'll share next week, perhaps, of a brother that literally within a matter of hours of opening himself up to what the Lord has for him and his finances moving forward, he got his socks clean blessed off. I know. You can't make it up. It's right in front of our face all the time. And there are areas in our hearts that we can't get fully focused on him because we've lost our hope for that to happen. It's easy. The adversary has been trying to do it to us for millennia to take our hope, because once we don't have hope, we can't have joy. And without joy, we can't be who the Lord created us to be. Mark 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Can we talk about that idol that we pay for? Television's not free. And I'm not telling you to shut your TV off and stop paying for it. I'm just asking, is that an idol? I know people that are plugged into the TV so much, it's the 7 to 9 thing every night, and it breaks my heart to know that they're not in the Word. They're not walking out all that God died to give them, because their focus is on that, not on that. And all the preaching that they're hearing from the television and their favorite shows that are funny and good and wholesome and clean, I promise, is stealing their hope. Little by little, drip by drip by drip by drip by drip. And then all at once. You know, that's what they did to us with the pandemic a few years ago, right? Drip, drip, drip. Ah! So if not to cause a problem now, if I just kind of went like that for a minute and said, seems it's coming again because they're lying about it again, would you know what I was talking about? Most. Good. You know, that is just so cool. I love doing shadows. The lies are coming again, and we have the answer because we have the hope. Don't let that get on you from outside of your journey in Christ. It's coming. There's a reason the Lord told us to have a garden too, and I'm not usually quite so bold about that. But we have a storehouse. We were told to have a storehouse. That infers you're told to start to fill your storehouse, and the Lord will fill your storehouse through others. Can I be any clearer on that? We live in the most glorious times ever, beloved. These are the most glorious times ever. If you have eyes to see and you watch what the Lord's doing in all of our hearts and minds, in our family, in our families, regionally and globally, it's amazing. It is amazing what God's doing, stirring. There are denominations that are being lit on fire for him right now that have no grid for what's going on. And they're just like, but it's God. And signs, wonders, and miracles are following because they're preaching the word. Amen. So fun. So good. What would stop us from releasing the hope we carry into our fellow man? Family, friends, coworkers, neighbors, people we accost on the street just for fun? To witness to? What would stop us? Yep, fear. And what would that look like? What are they going to think of me? I mean, really, come on. It's not like they're going to shoot you. They're not going to stab you with a spear because we're here in America. We were chosen to be here. We get to talk that way. We get to go evangelize in that way. You know, in a lot of the world, you can't. The number of Christians being martyred globally right now is unbelievable. Why? Because the gospel's going forth in record numbers. Fear. Fear. It's the opposite of hope, isn't it? I thought so. Tom didn't even want me to go through all this because he wanted me to talk about fear right at the beginning when I was talking about hope and the opposite. It's awesome. It is the truth. Fear is exactly the opposite of hope. I live in hope. I live in fear of nothing. Fear of man, fear of my adversary, fear of the government, none of it. It's history. Why? Because my hope is in Christ. Amen. The Christ set me free of all fear. Amen. And he can, you too. So find that area in your heart that I asked you to look for at the beginning where your hope is waning a little bit. And the altar ministers are going to come, and they are professional hope restorers. They are professional caster-outers. Yep. Caster-outers of any type of fear, trepidation, or anxiety about a situation. You don't even need to give them a laundry list. Because they're going to declare into you that fear, go now. And hope's going to replace it just that fast. Amen. Any hooser. So, if you'd stand up, I want to bless you.
Thank you so much for sharing this time with us as we have encountered Jesus Christ through the ministry of his life-changing word. If you would like to learn more about Steve Castle Ministries and Beloved Church, you can go online to stevecastle.com or belovedchurchillinois.com. You can also contact us at 815-990-9999. 1-800-273-0367. Always remember that you are a part of the beloved family of God, and Beloved Church is the place where you are greatly loved. Now please open your heart to receive as Pastor Steve proclaims the blessing of the Father over your life.
I pray, I declare that above all things, that you allow the finished work of the cross to bring prosperity into your finances and also divine health, prospering your body. And all of these things are going to affect you in a supernatural way as you allow your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, and your personality to be perfected in prosperity that the Father desires for you to have. We love you, and we cannot wait to see and be with you again soon. Goodbye, beloved.